Welcome back to Timeshare on PANJRadio.com. I'm your host, Marie Jackson, and my guest today is regular contributor and my Course in Miracles tutor, holistic psychotherapist Douglas Economy. You can call in with your questions or comments at 609-460-4673, or you can text me live at 215-470-1288. Before we went to break, we were talking about meaning, Douglas, and I was asking you the difference between meaning and value, and we continue that conversation a little bit during the break. Do you want to pick up there?
Sure. I'm not a linguist, so spontaneously, I would just say the value and meaning are pretty much identical. Value would be a little bit more of a emphasis on worthiness. What worth does something have in comparison to something else? But all of that happens also within the context of meaning we give something. So to me, meaning would be just sort of a more general term, but they certainly coincide. But this little excursion is valuable insofar as that let's take a look at what aspect of meaning is really important for the process of forgiveness. It is not so much the content, so much. It is more that by giving meaning to something, I judge it in some way. And it's that act of judgment that is the primary mind activity of the ego mind through which the ego produces the separation in the world. And as we know, we've said many times in this series of discussions, there's really only one problem, and that is the seeming the illusion of separation. Mm-hmm. And the only answer, of course, is the undoing of separation, mm-hmm. which is accessing the reality of the divine world reality. So forgiveness really is about undoing separation. And if through judgment is the primary way we manifest or seem to manifest separation, then it's the act of non-judging that is the way to undo it. So that's really, in a nutshell, what forgiveness is all about. Let's take a moment, though, to look at this word judgment a little bit more. It's the meaning I give is the greater context, and there's many meanings, and therefore we can split up judgment as something we say about something else or a thought we have about something else. And there is a section there, a whole piece, that would go under the category of condemnation, where the judgment is a negative one of some kind. That, of course, has a particular weight to it only in the sense that it's through the condemnation that I create more negativity, more negative energy within my being, within my consciousness. And I'm therefore shifting more and more away, or I'm counteracting or undoing my reality, because my reality is I am love. So here's where love comes in as the counterpoint to the condemnation aspect of judgment. So that's why there's a gravity to it. There's more, a lot of energy in that. There's a lot of oomph in it.
Well, if we judge something to be good, we're still judging.
Right. And that's the other piece. That's why I'm making there's the condemnation aspect, right, which carries a lot of energy around it. But I do not want to make a distinction between that and any other judgment, mm-hmm. which would be just a discernment, an assessment, mm-hmm. about something else that we need to do all the time. So, you know, a student will very quickly say, well, if I'm not supposed to judge, how can I navigate through this world? Because I'm judging all the time.
Right.
Am I going to iron this tablecloth or leave it as it is or whatever?
Right.
And
you read my mind. Thank you for asking the question. Thank you.
And see, the point here is that there's essentially no difference, because that mind activity is one where I'm engaged in separation. There's me and there's the tablecloth.
Subject-object.
Mm-hmm. When I condemn, it's me and the one I'm condemning. I'm making a difference and I'm creating a separation. But in the end, it's all the same. And the first principle of miracles, and what the miracle is, we'll get into probably next time or so, is that there's no order of difficulty. It's all the same. Why? Because it's all illusionary. So whether I'm addressing a person that I'm condemning because he's a horrible schmuck, or I'm making an assessment about the tablecloth, it is exactly the same.
Because the action is still a judgment.
It's still a judgment.
Right.
But the point is, I'm judging something that is other than what is the oneness that is true. I'm creating otherness, separation.
Reinforcing the separation.
Right. And the separation is the illusion, which is the downfall, the trap of the ego. And that's the problem. So it's all illusionary. Now, so you say, well, okay, well, should I not, then what? Should I stop thinking about the world altogether? Because, no, that's not the point. Mm-hmm. But I change the way I think about the world. Mm-hmm. So,
well, that takes us to number one, awareness.
Awareness,
yeah.
So if I'm thinking about the tablecloth, if I choose, I won't do that all the time because then I'd never get anything done. But I might just take that opportunity right now and say, okay, here's this tablecloth, and here am I, and it's just not true. None of this is real, and I forgive it all.
The forgive, then, is getting us to the place where we don't see the separation.
We don't see the separation.
Okay.
Now, at this point, it's important to say that the Course does not teach pantheism, which is the idea that the physical world of time, space, and form truly exists, but all physicality is only seemingly separate. In reality, it's all one.
Mm-hmm.
That is not a teaching of the Course in Miracles. It's not pantheism. I'm not one with this tablecloth. The point is, this tablecloth doesn't exist, and neither do I as Douglas Economy, a separate, seemingly separate entity in this world. The whole thing doesn't exist. That's the whole point.
That really takes time and effort and practice and conversation, and it's a big brain shift.
I'm
trying to shift my brain here.
Yeah.
Because everything in our culture tells us the opposite.
Everything.
But in a metaphysical sense and in the quantum physics sense, everything that you're saying is exactly what is true in quantum physics. That all possibilities exist for all things all the time because everything is the same stuff. It's all the same. There is no them.
Right.
There's only us, and it's all one beingness.
And what quantum physics also points towards, I mean, there's argument about this, but to me it very clearly points to the fact that this stuff is also nothing material.
True. Yep, exactly.
That is actually its mind, its thought.
Yeah, there's no there. Yeah.
It points towards that,
mm-hmm.
But, you know, that would be another topic, and I'd have to study a little bit because it's a while ago where I studied all this stuff. But in any case, so back to forgiveness. There's something about, or one of the outstanding features, characteristics of this work called A Course in Miracles is the incredible consistency mm-hmm. of the thought system.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done much to train myself to try to be as consistent in my thought and complete and thorough as the Course does in order to get it all. The point
thorough.
Is...
Good word, thorough.
My whole example with the tablecloth, just take it as an example for how complete and thorough and consistent the whole thought system is. But my advice is, for now, forget about tablecloths and anything, any such thing, because we have enough work to do in just focusing on forgiveness in the context of condemnation. That when there's something happens and I'm upset, and therefore because I'm upset, I'm in reaction, and I condemn. Focusing on that for now is more than enough in the beginning, and it has more oomph to it, obviously. Okay, so we're done. I celebrate the moment. We're done with the second step. It's the go-round.
Can I ask a question, though? Because yes. I'm listening to you with the ears of my pals who are tuning in. Okay. And how do we get to the place where something that is, quote, done to us, unquote, and we understand that it's just because it's our reaction to something that's happening, and it's a reflection of our own reality, not necessarily what is, it's just our reaction to it. How do we not condemn, yet respond in a way that doesn't make us somebody else's doormat?
Very good point.
Yeah.
Very good point. And yeah. That kind of leads more back into that principle in relationship psychology, because the Course in Miracles doesn't address that. It's a self-study course which has completely addresses my inner consciousness and how I can shift my consciousness.
And how I see things.
And how I see things, right, shifting from right. The ego mind to my right divine mind. That's what it is about.
Right.
But it's a very valid question, and yeah. It's an important question, and one that I'm more than happy to answer, because it makes all the difference in how can we navigate or apply this work. Well, the answer is very simple. When somebody triggers my vulnerability, which, you know, and particularly in partnerships is where it happens all the time. Our yeah. partners are usually the ones who push our buttons better than anybody else. But this goes for everybody in the world that we encounter in some way. If I'm triggered, then for my own sake, for my own self, for my spiritual growth, the atonement process, whatever you want to call it, I go through the forgiveness steps and leave it at that. That's the bottom line. That's it. I take responsibility for it. And not only that, I take responsibility for it in the sense that I don't make the other responsible, but taking responsibility for it means also that I see that happening as actually an extremely valuable opportunity for me to do the inner work that is my salvation, that is the atonement, to shift out of my ego mind. So I really want to embrace it. I really want to take ownership. I really take the responsibility and see whatever happens really as an opportunity to forgive, because that's going to bring me forward. Okay. But then there's the other, and there's also something called overwhelm. If somebody keeps triggering me all time,
yeah,
and I'm trying to forgive and do the work and da-da-da,
yeah.
But, you know, hey, cut me a break.
Yeah, enough already.
You know, this is too much at once.
Yeah.
Then, of course, it's absolutely not only justifiable, but appropriate to address that other person and say, look, when you do this, then my vulnerability gets triggered by saying that I'm not making a causal connection. I'm not saying because you do that, I feel horrible. It's when you do it, my vulnerability, I have an issue here. I have a need that's based on my whole thing. And that gets triggered. And, you know, I'm feeling horrible and I'm really upset or whatever. Could you do me a favor and please cut me a break? Could you please support me in the inner work I'm doing, because I do take responsibility for how I feel, And I know I need to work that through. I need to clean it up. I need to heal it. But could you support me in that, in giving me a little bit of slack here and trigger me just once a day and not 30 times?
And if the other person says no?
Then that's perfectly fine.
See, because what I'm feeling here is, like, say I have some kind of a falling out with my husband, and it's like he's on my last nerve. Whatever my issue is, he keeps touching that little button of mine. I know it's my button. I know it's my reaction. I know it's my inner work. And if I say to him, you know, you really got to work with me here. It's not working, because whatever it is that's happening, I'm going someplace else, and I really need you to work with me here. And he either doesn't do it, doesn't want to do it, forgets to do it.
Right.
Okay, doesn't think it's important, and therefore, if he doesn't think it's important, he's not going to respect it for me. At that point, the forgiveness part is like, really? I'm someplace else.
Right.
Okay, and that's the hardest work here, because I'm working on it on the inside. And it would be nice if he could give me some help. But if he doesn't give me some help, then what?
Tough luck.
I would not be convicted by a jury of my peers.
Because the request that is appropriate for me to make has to be a request and not a demand. A demand means there's a consequence. If you don't do it, then such and such. Well, you
and
know,
then we're in the ego back and forth again. There
and then
we go.
We're lost.
I get it.
We're lost.
Okay.
So it has to be a request and not a demand, which means the request, the person has to be completely free to choose. Do they want to fulfill or try to fulfill that request or not? And if they don't, whether they want to or not, or forget or whatever, it is my problem and only my problem. Period. Do I want to be a victim? That's the whole point. The ego wants to be a victim. It wants to blame the world for everything. But that is the most disempowering thing I can do for myself. But when I empower myself, I step out of the victimhood and I take responsibility and say, I'm not going to be the victim and at the effect of whatever this person does.
So even if he comes back and doesn't comply or respond or value what I need, I'm still responsible for how I feel.
Absolutely.
And at that place, at that point, that's how I make the choice between how much power I give him over me based on his behavior.
Exactly.
Because my power determines what happens to me.
Exactly.
And determines my behavior. Okay. All right.
Now, I'm very happy about this word, you using the word power here, because that leads us into the third step.
I was going to say, are we ever going to get to the third step?
We're getting there. The third step,
We're getting there. Yay.
Because the third step is not really a step it's not a step I take. And it's not even a step, really. It's the outcome. Mm. But this outcome piece is the biggie. In that, it is truly, it's safe to say, it is the salvation of the world. It is the answer to everything. And that answer is not one that I can supply. Why? I, as the ego Douglas economy.
Okay.
Because the answer is God's reality of oneness and love. That's the answer. And that's one not I supply, but God has supplied, quote unquote, a long time ago. There's no time, but that's God's creation. So that last peace, let's call it that, in the process of forgiveness, is asking what Jesus in the Course calls the Holy Spirit. We can call it my higher self, the divinity within me, my connection to God, whatever you want to call that, doesn't matter. I need to ask for help in that last piece, because it is supplied to me, it is given me. It is not something that I have produced. The whole process till now was to let go of what I produced, to forgive that, because what I produced, i.e. ego, mind, is what caused separation and was the whole problem. So that last piece is something that I receive because I've removed the blocks that have stand in the way of my ability to receive, my ability to be aware of the default state, the default reality that always was and always will be there, namely the reality that God created.
So are we asking for help or are we asking for access?
Both. Help to access. Thank you for the question.
Okay.
Help to access. Help me in accessing that. Help me in experiencing that. Help me in stepping into that and being that. Help me in stepping into my true being, which is that oneness and love. And so the forgiveness in this case now, it's all about undoing separation and reaccessing the oneness that is God's reality, which is love. And if I may quickly now, where we were talking, okay, that interaction that I have with my partner where I say, please cut me a break here.
Yeah, work with me.
Work with me. You see, if that person chooses not to respond or do anything, here's another reason why it's totally okay. Because if I continually perform that forgiveness, I'm undoing separation. And I'm doing it not only for me, because I was stressing how this is really for my own, atonement.
Mm-hmm.
It is,
mm-hmm.
in the first place, mm-hmm. because I cannot do anything for anybody else or anything if
right,
I don't
right,
do it for
right,
myself.
Right.
But the other side of that same happening that happens within me, by nature of the fact that we are one,
yeah,
happens
right.
for my partner.
That's right. It lifts us both.
It lifts us both out. So when I forgive, I'm doing it for all of us, for both of us, and I do it for the whole world.
Douglas, I can't believe how fast our time goes, and we are just about at the end. In about 1 minute, can you give us quickly the step 1, 2, 3?
Yes. Thank you for asking, because so there was so much talk in between. Step 1, I become aware that I'm in a state of separation because I am judging, I'm reacting, I'm condemning, I have a grievance, I'm upset. At least, if not any of that, I'm aware of the fact that I'm in a place of duality that is not where I really want to be.
Right.
Step 1.
Step 1.
And that happens as a consciousness towards something or present to without resistance. Very important. Step 2 is I become aware of the dynamic of how I am the cause of this experience. It's my ego mind projection, the thought system of my ego mind, the thought activity of my ego mind that is producing this happening. It's not real. It's an illusion. That's the second step. The third is not a step. It's a happening where I ask for help.
It's a request.
It's a request. In that way, you could say actually it is a step. But what happens is not my step. I ask for help. And then the third piece is where I'm given, because if I ask and it will be given.
Ask and it will be given. Absolutely. Yep.
I can guarantee you, if you ask with your heart and sincerity, the Holy Spirit, or whatever you want to call it, will provide you with the experience of having undone oneness and accessing the reality of what you are, and that is the light of the world, divine love, one with all that is. Done.
We got through the 3 steps.
We got through it. Yay.
Only took us 6 weeks. Okay, once again, we've reached the end of another Fast Hour on Timeshare. My guest today has been holistic psychotherapist Douglas Economy, guiding us through the teachings of A Course in Miracles. Douglas will be with us again to continue our conversation on April 2, and we'll touch on the spiritual meaning of Easter. I hope you can join us. Douglas, thank you, as always, for being with us. Please tell our listeners how they can reach you.
My website is douglaseconomy.com, very simple, and there is my phone number and my email address, and I welcome anybody who would like to contact me. Thank you.
You've been listening to Timeshare on PANJRadio.com with me, Marie Jackson, your host. I am a holistic mentor in the field of metaphysical spirituality. I help people to manage stress, achieve goals, and realize personal power in work, relationships, and family dynamics by staying connected in daily living to the spirit of who they are. I focus on intention and the law of attraction and help people to develop spiritual practices that bring them to inner balance and peace. You can learn more about the work I do in the field of spiritually holistic living at mariejackson.net. While you're there, you can also hear past broadcasts of Timeshare by clicking on the radio page of the website. I welcome your suggestions for show topics or guests, so please write, text, or call me with your ideas. My guest next Thursday, March 26, will be Zanya Gisler, owner and operator of Zanya Spa Salon here in Lambertville. Zanya has a beautiful holistic approach to personal care, focusing on her clients' individual wellness while using products that harmonize with the environment. Listen in as Zanya shares her view that a successful business enterprise can be healthy for clients, staff, and our planet. Thank you for sharing this time with us today. Join me every Thursday from noon until 1 as we explore the field of metaphysical spirituality. In the meantime, I wish you ease in living your wholeness.